Well, tonight, I'm going to share with you a message about how to be a real leader. I say a real leader because I want you to know that there are a lot of pretend leaders. There are a lot of people that maybe they're in a position of leadership, but they're not really leading. And there's some who maybe aspire to lead, but they lack the most basic qualities of leadership. Now, when you start talking about qualities of leadership, I want to tell you, you can just keep adding and adding to the list until you literally have dozens of qualities that we need to have to be a leader. But there's no perfect leaders except for one, and his name is Jesus. And so, you know, we just need to understand that if we go that route, you know, you got to be this perfect leader. That disqualifies all of us, and so we're just not going to lead. But here's the thing, all of us with our faults and flaws and shortcomings, I mean, you see, we're all maybe good at some things and strong in some things, but weak in other things. And yet, we need to know this, that God can use each and every one of us. But there are some qualities that leaders really need to have. I mean, if you're going to be a real leader, we're going to talk about three simple things tonight that you really have to have in order to lead anybody. The first and foremost, this one, you got to get this one because the other two just don't happen without this one. Real leaders have vision. You got to have vision. And what I mean by that is you got to have a personal vision. You know, we talked about this, about purpose a few Sundays ago, and about having real purpose in our life. And that's very closely related to vision. Because see, if to have vision, you need to have a sense of purpose about your life, that you're here for a reason. There are things that God wants you to do. So you need to have a vision about that, and especially in regard to others, those that you would lead, those that you would influence or impact, whether it's your kids or your family, your coworkers or your neighbors, whoever it might be, you need to have a vision, a sense of purpose about that, that God wants to use you that way. And you need to have vision of what that would look like. What will it look like for your kids to truly serve the Lord? What does that look like? What does it look like in the workplace for your co-worker to come to the Lord? Or maybe that neighbor whose marriage is all messed up. Get a vision for what that would look like. You see, you need to see where it is that you're going and what it is that God wants you to do. But a leader has to have a sense of purpose and that personal vision about what God wants them to do. In Acts 26, 14 through 19, now this was Paul's vision. We don't all get a vision that is as dramatic as the Apostle Paul did. But nonetheless, we need vision. He says, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. You see, God gave him a vision, and he says, I wasn't disobedient to that vision. He had been fulfilling that vision over and over and over through all kinds of difficulties and challenges and opposition. He fulfilled that vision. Now, the Lord gave Paul a vision for his life. It was a vision that he couldn't ever forget. He couldn't ever get away from it. And he knew what it was that he was called to do. You see, sometimes God gives us a calling for life. And we certainly think or consider that about those who are in full-time ministry. But I want you to understand that you have a calling, even if it's not a calling to full-time ministry. You see, as a husband, you have a calling. As a parent, you have a calling. As a Christian, just to share the Lord with people and help other people along their way. You see, there's a calling. But I want you to understand this, though. You see, a lot of the time, God gives us vision, not just for our whole life, but listen to me, for a specific task. There's a season that you're supposed to do something, or something that God wants to accomplish through you and impact somebody else's life. Like Nehemiah. You know, in the Bible, Nehemiah hears about the walls of Jerusalem being broken down, and God gives him a vision to rebuild those walls. And not only to rebuild the walls, but if you read the whole book of Nehemiah, you see it wasn't just about the walls. It was about restoring God's people. It was about them having revival and them getting back on track with God. But you see, the Lord gave him vision for that task. And then you read about a man named Gideon that led 300 into battle and defeated thousands and thousands. But get this, the Lord gave him a vision to do that. When the Lord called him, he wasn't a leader. Some of you are thinking, I'm not a leader. Gideon wasn't a leader. And the Lord called him a mighty warrior. He says, hey, my family is the least. Somebody from a bad family? He said, my family is the least, and I'm the least in my family. And yet God called him and gave him a vision that he would be the one to lead God's people to throw off their yoke of bondage from their oppressor and defeat their enemy. You see, God gave him that task. How about Esther? You see, God gave her a special task. And she said, if I perish, I perish. But her uncle Mordecai, he told her, what if you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You see, she had a specific task that she had to fulfill. And I'm just telling you, a lot of the time that God gives us a task for a season. And we need to understand that that is our vision that God wants us to fulfill. See, you got to have vision to lead, whether it's a lifelong call or just a task, something that you're supposed to do right now. You need to have vision for that. Why? Well, you got to have vision about where it is you're going. How can you lead somebody somewhere if you don't know where you're going? I mean, you got to know what the goal is. You got to know what this is about. He may call you to lead a small group. He might call you to teach a children's class. He may call you to take a friend under wing and help disciple them. But a leader always has to have vision of what it is that they're trying to accomplish. What is it that you're trying to accomplish? You got to know what that is if you're going to lead anybody. Parents, you need to have a vision that you're raising children that will serve the Lord all the days of their life. You need to have a vision that your children are not going to give in to peer pressure, but they're going to be strong in the Lord. You need to have that kind of vision about your kids. I tell you the vision a lot of people have about their kids. Oh, you know, in this old world, it's so bad, you just don't know. That's the wrong vision. You need to have vision and lead your kids with vision. A lot of people, you know, they struggle with their home. You need to have a vision of a godly home. Now, the problem here again is a lot of people don't even know how that's supposed to look and what that's supposed to be like. Get a vision, a scriptural vision of what your home is supposed to be. How can you lead your home if you don't even know where it's supposed to go? You got to lead it to the right place. So leaders, you always have to have vision. Vision is how you know where you're going. You can't lead people nowhere. I know some charismatic people, you know, they just are able to inspire people to follow them blindly. But here's the thing, those people think they're being led somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Proverbs 29:18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. See, without a vision, people just end up going nowhere. We got to know what it is that we're trying to accomplish. Great leaders see where they're going. They see what needs to happen, and they see how it ought to be. You know some lost people? All you need to see. I mean, you know what needs to happen, right? They need the Lord. But you need to see as it ought to be. You need to see them serving the Lord. And that, you see, when you get there, something's going to happen on the inside of you. It's going to create some drive inside of you. We'll talk about that in a minute. Martin Luther King Jr., he gave this famous speech, I have a dream. I'll tell you what he did. He cast vision. He saw what needed to happen. He saw the way things ought to be. And whether you agree with him or not, I want to tell you, he cast vision that impacted a nation. But leaders have to have vision. And they have to communicate that vision to those that they're leading. Now, you know, that may sound kind of strange if, you know, when you're talking about your kids, but that's right. You need to communicate to your kids the vision that you have for their life and what you're believing God to do in their life. That's the way Jesus did it. Jesus had vision. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to stop it. That's his vision for the church. It's still coming to pass. But you see, he communicated that to the disciples and he challenged them. He said, go and make disciples. And disciples make disciples. It's still going on. He's still building his church. You see, but we got to have a vision of what it is that God wants to accomplish. Tell your kids why you go to church every week. Tell them about the vision that they're going to serve the Lord, that they're going to have the blessing of God on their life. Don't take it for granted. You need to talk to your kids. Well, if you don't, somebody else will. Let me just tell you, the real cure for being able to raise children in such an ungodly world, it's that mom and dad doesn't abdicate, give up their influence and let somebody else be the main influence in their life. You know, we got it nowadays where little 8-year-old Tommy, you know, he don't want to go to church because, you know, he didn't get the candy bar last week in class. He doesn't want to go anymore. Well, you know, we're not going to make him go because he don't want to go. And, you know, they got to choose, they got to make their own way. Baloney. Good grief. Is that the way you handle it when they don't want to go to school? I would have never gone to school a day in my life. These kids nowadays, they like school. I'm like, y'all are weird. I knew a couple of those back when I was in school. Now it just seems like so many kids, they just love school. They can't wait for school to start. Something wrong with you. Anyway, sorry. But I'm just telling you, you need to communicate vision to your kids and what it is that you want to see in their life and see them serving God and being used of God. Here's the thing. You know, if you lead a small group, you got to have vision for what it is that you're trying to accomplish through that small group. Nobody can follow a visionless leader. Now, some leaders are. They just kind of go through the motions. But here's where that fails. You see, we got to have vision because vision is what drives us. Real leaders are driven. And vision is what drives them. Not ego, not power, not the desire for popularity. Real leaders are driven because they have vision. You know, certainly as a leader, you follow the Lord, you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But you see, to fulfill the purpose of God, to fulfill the vision that God has given us, we got to be driven by that. Real leaders don't need somebody to pump them up. Our former pastor, Pastor Harold Nichols, pastored this church for 50 years. He and I are real different in personality in some ways, but oh, we agreed so much about some things. And one of those is that lazy preachers stink. See, he wouldn't have said it that way because he's nicer than me. But I can just tell you this, that there are some in ministry that will be as lazy as they can possibly get away with. But if you have vision, it will drive you. You just want to go. You want to work. You want to get it done. Because there's something on the inside of you. You see, that vision will drive you. And I'm saying, listen, this is for all of us, because in whatever way we hope to have influence and lead somebody else, help somebody else, we need to have vision for that. You see, when you have vision and you're driven, nobody has to tell you to be committed. Nobody has to spur you. You're driven from the inside. Nobody has to tell a leader to work. Real leaders are vision motivated. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, "If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." He said, "I have to do it. I absolutely have to do it." He was so driven. He says, I can't not do it. I just, woe to me if I don't do it. I have to do it. Why? Because he had this vision that this is what he was supposed to do, and he just couldn't not do it. You see, it drove him. He was so driven. And whether it's raising godly children or getting your neighbor in church or sharing the Lord with a co-worker, we got to be driven by vision. I think this is one of the reasons that a lot of ministers don't stay in full-time ministry very long. They say the average is about 15 years, and only about 10% actually retire as a minister. And I just want to say that's sad to me. But I think at some point, you see, they no longer were driven by vision. They were listening to people and looking at their circumstances and allowing other things to keep them from being driven to keep going and to keep going. Paul said he had to do it. Think about this. He was cursed. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was stoned. But he kept going. He was so driven by that vision that he just wouldn't stop. How we need that in the body of Christ today, that because of the vision that God has given us, and whatever it is, whatever task, you see, that he's given us to do. And I just want you to understand, sometimes people have this idea, well, you know, I'm called to this thing, and maybe someday they're going to do that. I want you to know God wants to use you right now. There's something you're supposed to do right now. You need to have vision for that task, whatever that is, because it'll get you up and going and get you moving for the Lord. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do it heartily, is to the Lord and not to men. You see, if you have vision, you'll do whatever you do with a passion. Whatever you do, he says, you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And yet there seem to be a lot, even those in full-time ministry, that they just kind of are content to maintain the status quo. But if we're leading anyone, we need to do it with passion. Because if we don't, we're leading people to be lukewarm. Real leaders always bring their own fire. Some people, they just can't get stirred up. They just can't really get it going. You know, they need to be around somebody that's got the fire. Real leaders have their own fire. It comes from that vision. It will give you drive. See, the one that's leading, you got to have something on the inside. It's vision that drives you. That you want to see it happen. You want to see it as it ought to be. And so that's what drives you. Now, followers have to be led. And don't misunderstand when I say followers. All of us are followers in some way because, hey, we are all followers of Jesus. But I just want you to see what I'm saying here. You see, if you're a leader, you lead because you're driven. But if you're a follower, if you're just a follower, somebody else has got to lead you. And this is kind of hard for some leaders. I'm going to own this. This is hard for me sometimes to understand. I'm working on it. But you see, a lot of followers, they're not as committed. They're not as on fire. They're not where you are. That's why they need a leader. That's why they need somebody that is passionate. But what I'm saying is, listen, if God is using you, just remember that those that you lead have to be led. You can't drive them. You got to lead them. Amen. Jesus challenged others to be committed, and then he led the way. I mean, Jesus was all in. And I want to tell you, we do have to challenge others to be committed. That's what Jesus was doing when he said, follow me. He told them they had to forsake all that they had. But the best way to get people committed is to lead them there. You show them. People that dump their kids off at church. Oh my goodness. You're dumping them off at church because they want to go. I'm talking about other people, not y'all. Y'all are here on Wednesday night. So, you know, I'm just talking about people behind their back, all right? They dump their kids off at church because the kids want to go, but they don't even, they're telling their kid it's not important. Or when you become an adult, you don't need to go to church anymore. In my 40-something years of ministry, I had about 16 months, 4 months or so, and 11 or 12 another time where I was in between positions and not in full-time ministry. And in fact, I'll just tell you, you know, there was a couple of months there where I was like, Lord, I'm just ready to do something else. But I want to tell you something else that happened, though. You see, we were also leading some kids. We had 2 children. But it wasn't even just because of that. In that time period, we never, ever missed church And of course, you know, this was years ago, back when you had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And we never missed a service. So there was a time we were looking for a church, and we would visit some churches, and some of them were just duds. I mean, the worship wasn't any good, if you could call it that. And the preaching, I don't think you could call it preaching. Well, you know, at least we're hitting on one here. We got good worship, don't we? We sure do. I'm telling you, I love the worship here, and just, man, what a great worship team. But here's the thing. During all that time, even when we went to some duds, we wasn't going to quit going to church. We're going to go to church. Man, even if I had to go to a dead church, I'm going to go to church. Never missed a service. Got to lead. Got to be driven. And if you are, others will follow. Here's why. You see, when the leader has vision and they are driven, it creates enthusiasm. It creates excitement. Listen, if you're not excited about what you're doing or where you're going, nobody's going to follow you. Romans 12:11 says, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. See, you got to be passionate about whatever it is that you're doing. Be enthusiastic. Now, I'm not just talking about having a bubbly personality. I'm talking about having that drive. I'm talking about enthusiasm that you just don't, you know, you never get to that place where you don't care. You care about what you're doing and what it is that you're trying to accomplish. See, I'm going to tell you, if you don't care about reaching your neighbors, don't worry about it. You won't. No, you gotta be enthusiastic about whatever it is, whatever task God gives you. And don't allow circumstances to drain your enthusiasm. I'm gonna tell you, if you're gonna allow that, things will happen. There's gonna be obstacles and trouble sometimes. Sometimes there's gonna be criticism. D.L. Moody, famous preacher. He had a woman come to him one day and she said, I don't really like your methods of evangelism and the way you try to win people to the Lord. And Moody said, well, I agree with you. He says, I don't really like it the way I do it either. He says, tell me how you do it. The lady said, I don't do it. Moody said, well, I like the way I do it a whole lot better than the way you don't do it. I'm just telling you, there's always going to be somebody that will criticize you. Never happens to me. Third, real leaders are determined. Luke 9:62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, that determination, it comes from the vision. I mean, if you have vision and it's real, then you just don't ever give up. You just keep going. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we run our race with perseverance. Galatians 6:9 tells us, don't grow weary while doing good. In due season, we shall reap if we don't lose heart. If we don't give up, we're going to see a harvest come. And you see, if we always remember that, it will help us through those hard times. How about this one? Proverbs 24:16. A righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. I want to tell you something. We all fall. We all mess up. We all have failures. We all have times when we feel like a failure. But as long as you get back up, you're not a failure. Just because you fall doesn't make you a failure. If you fall and you don't get back up, then you're a failure. You got to keep getting back up. But I tell you, if we keep on, you see, if we'll just keep on persevering, we're going to see victory. We're going to see breakthroughs. We're going to see that end result that we had vision for. But determination is a mindset. It's not something that you do once in a while. It is just the way you are determined. See, successful people, they're not always extraordinary people. Sometimes they're just ordinary people that had extraordinary determination. You know, I can speak from personal experience. I knew people, young men, that were called to ministry that were more talented and gifted than I. But I was just bullheaded enough to never quit. And they did. And I just want to tell you, you see, when things get rough and when things aren't going, anybody ever pray about something and you believe in God about something, you're trying to do something and it just goes from bad to worse? That's that time when you got to be determined and you got to keep on keeping on. Keep trusting God and believing God, because there is a harvest that's coming. You know, you can't just ask somebody to church one time. And you know, it's hard for me to preach that because I'm a worst salesman in the world. You know, I've had people tell me, oh, you're a preacher, well, you could sell anything. I can't sell anything. You know, you don't want to go to church, do you? That's just about how it is for me. I've had friends that I knew, like at the gym and stuff, and knew them for months. And they said, finally, they say to me, I want to come to your church. I didn't even invite them. They said they had to invite themselves. So, but I know this, though. You see, if you want to invite somebody to church, don't think that once is enough. Sometimes it takes 3, 4, 5 times, but eventually, you know, and I'm not talking about being rude, but I'm just saying sometimes you got to ask them more than once to get them here. It's just all too often we just give up too quick. But if we have vision, we'll be driven. And if we're driven, we'll be determined. Philippians 3:12-14, Paul says, not that I've already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, he was determined. He just wouldn't stop. He was going to keep pressing on no matter what. No matter what the opposition, no matter what trouble came, he's going to keep pressing on because he had a vision. There was a goal. There was a, in his mind, there was an image. There was a way that it ought to be. And he was going to do everything he could to see that happen. And I encourage you tonight, God can use you, but you need to have vision. If we have vision, then people can see why they should follow. If we're driven, then we will set the pace. We'll blaze the path for them. And if we're determined, then others will have the courage to keep going. But you, as a leader, you gotta have vision, you gotta be driven, and you gotta be determined. I want you to stand with me. We're gonna pray.